Right. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. It is, I want to thank everyone for, I'm not sure which one I'm being picked up on here, but I want to thank everyone for the beautiful prophet's chamber. Thank you, brother, for that and accommodations, you folks, and what a privilege it is to be friends with people of Fairhaven. I have some of my dear friends that I count closest friends in the ministry are people here at Fairhaven. A lot of our students over the years have gone here to school, and we praise God for the ministry here at Fairhaven. And so I want to speak to you today on a very important subject, I think, for students and for adults as well. And I don't mean that to be kids and adults. I mean, you know, you're still in school. And being prepared for something greater. God called you when he saved you. He called you because he has something for you. I sincerely believe that nobody gets saved apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit has to call, has to draw a person to Christ. Now, we give the gospel, but it's God that does the saving, the Holy Spirit. Now, it's very important to realize, and I know this is a thing that really made a difference for me as a young person, that I realized that God had chosen me to be his child. You realize before that, I was a child of the devil. And before people are saved, that's where they are. But God, in his love and mercy, if you're saved here today, he had to pry the devil's grip off of you by the power of God. When you heard the gospel, you accepted it, and Christ came in and into your heart, and the Spirit of God joined one with your spirit, and you were born again, born from above, transformed and changed, never to be the same again. Now, the whole purpose of that, not only to save your soul because God loves you, and wants you to be with him and fellowship with him. But God has a plan for you. He has a plan for your life. He has something he wants you to do that's going to impact this world for Christ. If you take your Bibles with me this morning, just to kind of make this point, I want you to look in Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. I'm just going to use one verse here. Nehemiah chapter 4. Now we know the story as you're turning there. Nehemiah was, he had been selected, if you would, as the cupbearer for the king. And he was in captivity. And Nehemiah found out about the condition of the walls of Jerusalem. And it was a sad state of affairs. And he was very, very burdened for it. And he prayed and he wept over this when he found out. And of course, you know the story how he came before the king and the king wanted to know why he was so sad. And he told him that he was sad because the walls would have been torn down and the gates have been burned and the condition of Jerusalem, it broke his heart. And it's interesting how the Lord allowed him to be in that place. And then God had a plan for his life. Anybody ever asked, you ever think about that? Think, why was Nehemiah... How did he get to be so close to the king? And then he was the one who God burdened to go and build the wall there in Jerusalem. Now, isn't it interesting how God works these things out? You're not here by accident today. You're not here in this school to going to school by accident. God has a plan. And you don't know what that is. And you know, in Nehemiah's case, you know, he spent many years there in captivity and God kind of maneuvered him into the point where he was close to the king. And then when God revealed to him the need, it wasn't revealed to the king, it was revealed to Nehemiah. And Nehemiah says he had the broken heart, he had the burden. You know, God can take, you're a student here, you think, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Where's your burden? Where's the burden that you have? Do you have the burden for lost souls? Do you have a burden to serve the Lord, to let your life count for Christ? Well, Nehemiah was moved into that position, and God used him then to build the wall. You know, in John 15, 16, it says, Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You know, he chose us. I was 14 years old when I got saved. I mentioned a little bit last night. And when I got born again, God changed my life. And it's interesting that even though I had no idea what God was going to do with me, as a 14-year-old, I was raised on a farm, 10 of us, mom and dad. You know, an old farm that's so poor, a rabbit had to pack a lunch to cross it. I'm telling you, we'd taken work all day, and if we got, you know, 70 bushel to the acre, we thought we were doing great. Well, they would plow it under up here if they only got 70 bushel to the acre. But you see, it's one of those things where, you know, my dad always said that he didn't have that farm to make any money. He had it just to keep us busy, and he did that. But it's interesting, when I got saved, my daddy wasn't a saved man. He didn't believe the Bible. He didn't believe in God. He just thought when he died, his body went back to the ground like a dog or anything else. He didn't believe he had a soul. And so consequently, when I got saved, he thought I done fell off a wagon, bumped my head, you know. He'd say, wow. He used to tease me a lot about my faith. But it's really interesting how the Lord so burdened me, and I was able to keep going for the Lord. I got saved right between the eighth grade and in high school. Then right after that, we started high school together. All my buddies come running up to me and said, hey, there's a place, this is an open campus. There's a place across the street. We can go there and get cigarettes and we can get beer. That's all we talked about whenever we were back in the seventh grade. Just mean as a snake. I said, no, I don't want to do that. They said, why? I mean, that's all we've been planning. I said, I'm a Christian now. I don't want to do that. I don't think Jesus would want me to do that. They got mad at me. I was so excited about being saved, I thought everybody'd like that. But they weren't. So I lost all my friends. Can I tell you something? I felt bad that they didn't like me anymore, but it didn't change anything. Because I was so thrilled with being saved and knowing Christ and having the Spirit of God just literally, and I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't even have a Bible at home for years. I didn't get one until after I got saved and my wife's folks bought me a Bible. You see, God began to work in our hearts. You kids need to understand that, you know, when you get born again, when you really get it, I'm telling you, it will change your life. You can't be happy. You can't be satisfied out of the will of God. There's not a more miserable person that walks the face of this earth as a person who knows Christ as his personal Savior and living in the world. Because it's miserable. Well, my friends, you see, God did a work for me, and I praise the Lord for that. It isn't me. I recognize it every day. 40 years I've been pastoring at the Willis Baptist Church. I had 15 years with the Federal Bureau of Prisons, and I had 4 years with the United States Marine Corps right out of high school. Got married at 18 years old. By the time I was 22, I had three kids. You say, wow, why does God do it? I don't know. Never, I'm bragging on God. Never have I ever been a day without a job. When I got out of the Marines, right after I got out of the Marine Corps, I went to work. I worked for the Federal Bureau of Prisons. And when I left there, I already had a job. I was pastoring the Willis Baptist Church. God is so good to us. God is so good to us. You see, the key is not for us to try to make things happen. The key is just to find the will of God and just love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said that's the key. And when you love one another and you love the Lord with all your heart, God says, you know, I can use that. And if you get on fire for God, He will use you. People who have difficulty, say, well, I just can't find God's will. I can't find God's will. You know, I'm not criticizing if that's where you're at. I'm going to tell you right now, for me, all I had to do was just make sure that I kept my heart where I needed to be with God, and God took care of where I should be. He took care of that. God led us to start a youth group back years ago. My wife and I, we started a youth group. We had 9 kids in that group when we started. In 2 years, we had 65 kids, and 30 of them were called into the ministry. Amazing. They went away to Bible colleges, serving the Lord. Many of them we won to Christ right out of the public schools. You say, well, how did you do that? I don't know. I really don't. All I did was want to serve God. You see, get your mind off of what you're going to do for God and let God have you, and He'll do with you more with you than you'll ever do for Him. See, it's God's work that matters. Now, Nehemiah, and I got to get back on my lesson. How long do I have anyway? Oh, I got plenty of time. Oh, yeah. Okay. Is that clock right? But anyway, God had moved him into that spot. Now, it's important to see in verse 6, he says there, I just want you to see this. It says, so build we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. I want you to catch that statement. The people had a mind to work. It's a mindset that whenever God takes and comes into your life, and a mindset is your whole existence, and all that you want and all you desire is to do what pleases God. If you got to go work a job out there and you got to work in McDonald's or wherever, you do it so you can serve God. All right? You get a job and your career or whatever it might be, it's done for one reason, and that is to serve God. I remember I was working at a service station, and a guy said, you have to work on Sunday. And I said, I go to church on Sunday. He said, well, you got to work on Sunday. I said, well, let me tell you something. I want you to understand this. I don't work here just so I can make money. I work here so I can take care of my family and serve God. And if I can't serve God, I don't need this job. He said, oh, we can change that around. When are Christians going to stand up? When are they going to stand up and say, hey, you're not dictating to me how I'm going to serve my Lord. And it's time that God's people started saying, that's our problem in America today. Everything is, we'll go to church if we have nothing else better to do. That's the mentality. But whenever you're sold out to God, and you really know that God has called you, and He's got a job for you, and He's got a plan for your life, then everything wraps around your Lord and Savior. Everything. Nothing else really matters. And so you do whatever you need to serve the Lord. Well, Nehemiah, God had moved him into that spot. And he said that the people had a mind to work. And I want to talk to you about that a little bit before I run out of time. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I desire to be a help to these young people today. God, you're so good. You're such a good God, and we love you so much. And Holy Spirit of God, please, I ask, dear God, that you'd help this preacher, Lord, to say what I need to say that would impact the lives of these young people. Lord, help them. Help me. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Number one, I want you to see is that there is a work to be done. There is a work to be done. The world today, our nation, our world is in deep, deep trouble. It's in deep straits. You don't realize the evil that's out there that is running, literally just absorbing every person out there. There's people today that do things in the world, that the world of sin is practiced, that we never even dreamed of when I was a boy. Never even dreamed of. When I grew up, I didn't even know what homosexuality was. Never even heard of it. I found out about it when I went to the Marine Corps. And they got up and told us to be concerned about these homosexuals that are down there in L.A. and places, and you got to be careful. And I'm sitting next to this guy, and I said, what's he talking about? I had no clue. And I won't repeat what he said back to me. But I didn't know what he was talking about, what they were instructing. What are you talking about? That's the most foolish thing. I thought it was crazy. Now, friend, let me tell you something. Today, you know the atmosphere out there today, where that is something not only that is commonplace, but it's something promoted. It's being promoted, and dare you not to say anything against it, because they will get very angry with you, and so they will attack you. And so we're in bad shape. I don't think I had spent much time on that to tell you about it, because, you see, there is a work to be done. The world's in deep trouble, and God loves the people in this world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's how much God loves those people out there in that world, including those homosexuals. God loves the world. He loves people in the world, and he wants them to be in fellowship with him. He cannot fellowship with him until their sin has been dealt with by the blood of Jesus. And so every person has a need to be born again. They need to be saved. And so it ought to be our greatest, there is a great work to do. Jesus came and died on the cross for that very purpose. And he saved you. And what a privilege it is that he saved your soul. Now that you are a born again believer with the power of the Holy Spirit within you, then God says there is a work to be done. There is something that must be. We have got to get the gospel to a lost and dying world. We have got to do that. And that's what God has called us to do. And sometimes people say, well, you preachers, go out there and get it done. That's good, you preachers. But I try to help my people. You know, it's not just for preachers. Like I said last night, that's, if you're saved and you're part of the family of God, you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Jesus gave his instructions to his disciple on the Sermon on the Mount, he said that's what you have to do. You've got to go and you got to watch out for these false prophets and make sure that you don't become one. You know how that happens? You dip your sails. People watching your life. You say, you know, oh, you don't have to live so strict and still be a Christian. You don't have to do this. You don't have to go to church every Sunday. You don't have to take and witness for it. You don't have, and on and on and on. And next thing you know, people who do that, they preach a wrong message with their life to others. And it kills the cause of Christ. That kind of teaching, that kind of, is an enemy of the cross. The very purpose from why Christ came and died on the cross is literally put down. And we can be false prophets like that. Because of who we are. And especially you folks that are going to a good Christian college and Christian high school. You've got All the opportunities when, so what you say is good or bad or is acceptable in the Christian life, people out there take that to the bank. What you say matters. If you don't live it with your life, you're saying a lot with your lifestyle. Nehemiah, he said the people had a mind to work, and there was a great work to do. There was a great urgency. The walls were broken down. They was not going to get built back up. Nobody was going to do it. If Nehemiah didn't get there to do it, it wasn't going to get done. And he was burdened with it. Can I say this to you? Where is the burden of the Christians today? Where is the burden for the work of God, for the lost people around you? You say, well, I'm not called into the ministry. Yes, you are. If you're saved, you're called to minister to others, to give the gospel to others. Where's the burden today? I've talked to a number of young people, young men that are interested in coming on as a youth worker or assistant pastors. When you guys get it from me. Anytime a guy comes up to me and says, what kind of pay can I expect? You don't have to worry. You find your pay somewhere else because it won't be with me. I'm not looking for somebody who's looking for a job. I'm looking for somebody who has a burden and a ministry. Got a burden to do something. And you know what I want to do? I want to help him do it. I want to help him do it. But if he don't want to do it and expect somebody else to drag him along, go find somebody else. I haven't got any time for that. You see, there's a work to be done out there. When I was on the farm, grew up, like I say, we worked hard. But I remember the days whenever we had to cut wood or go out and we had cut our own fence post. I remember many times that me and my brother would go out and cut down trees with a cross-cut saw. Now, most of you don't know what a cross-cut saw is. That's where you got one guy on one end and one guy on the other, and you're doing this. You know, you got to know how to do it because you can't push it. You pull your side, and he has to pull his side. If I try to push it, it buckles the saw. So that creates teamwork or a fight. We work. You know what? The first thing we did, we'd spend the time, whether the day before or early that morning, sharpening the saw, sharpening the axe. You don't go into the forest with a dull axe and a dull saw. You work all day long, get very little done. That's what you young people are doing right now. You're sharpening your axe. Being the best student, learning the best you can, getting all the information you can, make yourself as sharp as you can be to do the work when you get out there. That's what you're doing now. That's what God has for you right now, is take time to sharpen, get yourself as sharp so when you get there, you can do something, that you're going to be able to accomplish something. And so it's so very important that you take the urgency there, and you got to make sure that you keep yourself sharp. Today, our churches are closing. People are turning away from God. And if we don't take an act, you know, in all honesty, we got to be honest. My generation has failed because we have not maintained what we had, what was given to us. There was a time when churches were huge, the largest churches in America were independent fundamental Baptist churches. We were losing ground. We got to regain that. What we need is God to call men and women that will take and see the urgency and have a mind to work, a mindset to do the work, a mindset to just really get at it, really stay at it, that there's a job to be done. And so, and the problem is because there will be problems come. There will be problems. You have to decide, did God call? Is this what God would have for me to do according to His word? Is this what the Lord would have for you? You're here going to school. Is this God's will for you to be here? If it's God's will for you to be here, then you need to stay and do the best job you can be and get yourself as sharp as you can so you can do what God wants you to do when you leave. This is so important. And so, being willing to be used of God is something that has to be maintained in your heart. Now, let me just say this to you, that number two, I want you to see that Nehemiah understood when he said the people had a mind to work. It's people that God uses. God doesn't use machinery. People use machinery. God has to use people. God could have, He didn't call angels to do this. He called people to take the gospel to other people. It rests on us, because the born-again believers, the whole load rests on our shoulders. If we don't do it, it won't get done. God can't do it with, like I say, with machinery, and He's not going to call angels to do what He's called us to do. You see, here's the important thing, young people, only you can worship God for you. I can't do that for you. You can't worship God for me. You can't be obedient for me. Only you can be obedient for you. When we talk about a personal relationship with the Lord, it is that time where that personal relationship has to flower. It has to grow in within your life, because you see, only you can establish that personal relationship. Only you can get up and have time and pray and meet with God. Only you can take and read the Word of God. As the Spirit of God leads you, it's yours. It's yours. Mine is for me. Yours is for you. We cannot take and expect others to do for what we can only do for ourselves. We can't shove that off on somebody else. I found that there's five things that every Christian who's a born-again, baptized Christian, member of the church, there's five building blocks that they have to maintain if they're going to build their life and to be used of God. God will use them and show them other things, but these five, I've found for 40 years, I've taught it, I've found it to be the case. When anybody comes in my office and they tell me I'm having struggles with this or that, I ask them, are you doing, and I go through the five things, and invariably, there'll be two or three of them, at least one, that they're not doing. Those five building blocks is like the foundation you build your life upon, like a house. After you're saved and baptized, the Bible very clearly says, read your Bible. Read the Word of God, number one. Number two, pray. Read God's Word, then pray. Only you can pray and talk to God for you. Only you can read the Word of God for you. Nobody can grind it up and pour it in your ear. It's not going to matter. Read your Bible. Spend time in prayer. Witness. You have an obligation to witness. With your life, with your lips, witness for the cause of Christ. Nobody can witness for you to others to do that job that God says every Christian should do. Witness. Number four is worship. 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 Only you can worship the Lord for you. Go to church. And when you're in church, worship the Lord. You know, a lot of Christians go to church and don't worship the Lord. They're just there. You know, God knows when you worship and when you don't. God doesn't bless when you don't worship. He says, He commands that we worship Him. Be in church every time you get a chance. Worship the Lord. Have time that not only you spend time in prayer, but you spend time worshiping the Lord. And number five is tithe. You say, well, I'm a student. I don't make very much money. God knows how much money you make. You don't tithe because you got the money to tithe. You tithe because God says you ought to. So if you make a dollar, a dime of it belongs to God. You say, well, I can do a dime. Well, when you make 100, 10 of it belongs to God. These five things. You know what? In a college setting, you know what I find? Most college students let those things slip a lot because they're in class. And you know what? They get cold and indifferent toward the things of God. By the time they get out of Bible college, they're not worth a nickel because they've lost the fire. They've lost the desire of what drove them to go to college in the first place. And without those things, there's many other things God may ask you to do for your calling or whatever. But I don't care who you are. If you're a missionary, you're a pastor, if you're an auto worker, if you're going to grow in the Lord, those five things have to be maintained. You let any one of them slip, it's like building a house on a foundation that somebody knocked out half the blocks. Oh, you can go ahead and build it, make it look pretty for a while. Guess what? That's that building their house upon the sand kind of principle. When the troubles come, then everything starts falling apart. And guess what they always do? Why did God let this happen to me? It wasn't God. It was our disobedience building the house upon a foundation that wasn't maintained. Very, very important. Nehemiah saw the burden and he went after it. You know, we need to realize that what we accomplish and what we do is a great partnership with God. It's what God does with us. And so whenever Nehemiah, and I don't have time to go into it because of our time, but you realize Nehemiah didn't really have the cooperation of a lot of people. But God still gave him the victory. Even to the point where he said, you know what? They're going to attack us. And he said, when you're going to work on the wall, keep a sword handy. Hold a sword in one hand and keep working on the wall with the other. Sometimes things get real tough. You say, well, I just don't know if I could do that. Why would God let this happen? You know, that's the kind of thing. I was working for the federal prison. I had 15 years of federal service. And if you work for the federal prison service, and I'd been there for 15 years. I was a GS-11. I was at the highest I could go. I was doing all right. Financially, I was middle class to upper. Could take a vacation. Had my kids in Christian schools. I had three kids. They're all going to Christian school. God called me to start the Willis Baptist Church. So I said, Lord, whatever the Lord wanted me to do. After I started the church, it wasn't long, God called me to quit my job. And we really didn't the church, most of the people in the church, we had won to Christ and they were new Christians. I think, if my memory serves me correctly, I think we were getting somewhere around $1,200 a month in. We didn't have but probably 25, 30, maybe 50 people coming off and on. And so I need to give up my good job and just trust God. My deacons called me in and said, now, preacher, since you quit your job and you didn't check with us, by the way, what do you expect us to do for you? I told them, I said, fellas, I didn't quit my job to serve the Willis Baptist Church. I quit my job because God told me to. Now, what you do for me is really up to you. Whatever God will let you do. Well, $1,200 a month was everything. Health insurance, life insurance, cars, everything. And I had three kids in Christian school. Well, it didn't take me and my wife long to do our budget to realize that we were coming up about $1,000, $1,500 short to even just stay at it. We just went right on. We cut back. I sold my car. Just, we were struggling. Then, I take my daughter, which Regina, you know Regina, take her to the doctor, and she has scoliosis of the spine. Now, when I was with the prison, I had good insurance. It paid for all of that. Now I had no insurance. What am I going to do? 30-some thousand dollars for surgery and casting. I said, God, what am I supposed to do? You'd be surprised the well-meaning people that came to me and said, you need to go back to the prison. My old boss called me and tried to get me to go back. I said, I can't do that. God's called me. My friends, you got to understand something. All through the time, by the time it got done, I don't have time to go through it because it was a miracle from God. God ended up paying for every nickel of that. It didn't cost me anything. God paid for all of it. But there was a period of time there that I had to, that you see, you never get called of God to do anything that God will not allow you to be tested to find out if you really do it for the right reasons. I knew that my trust was in the Lord, and if God was going to bring me through it, He was big enough to do that, and He did. Nehemiah knew what it was. He said the people had a mind to work. The people had a mind to work. They knew that the calling that Nehemiah had on his life, what God had called him to do, and they had a mind to work. You know what we need in America today? We need Christians with a mind to work, to do the work of God. To let God work through them. Unless people decide that they're going to let God use them, you can always find good reasons not to do certain things. Good reasons. A fellow says one day, I'm sorry, preacher, I didn't make it to church because my neighbor needed me to take her to the hospital. You'd say, well, that sounds like a nice thing. I said, well, then why did you have to take him? When her son was living there with her. You can always find something to do besides do what you should be doing, even good things. You have a mind to work. Get yourself sharp. you're in school. Do the best you can in your lessons. Learn all you can. Sharpen yourself so when you go out there, when God says, this is the way I want you to go, this is the road I want you to travel, you're sharp and you're ready because you have a mind to work. But of course, you have to know that you're on the team first. Are you born again? Are you born again? You got to be on the team before you can ever work. If you're saved, then God's called you, and He has a job for you to do. He'll show you. You don't have to spend any time looking. I never spent any time looking. When God called me to start the Willis Baptist Church, I didn't even know where Willis was. I didn't go looking. When I started the youth group, I didn't have any desire to start the youth group. I didn't even like teenagers. But God called me to do it. You see, the key is to just get on fire for God. Love Him with all your heart and all your mind, all your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. Show the love of Christ in all that you do. And God says, now, that's a servant I can use. I got a job for you over here because you're faithful. And let me just say this. If you can't be faithful in the small things, God won't be able to use you in the big. A lot of people want to say, well, I want to do this. I want a pastor. Are you willing to take and work the bus route first? You see? The key is get a mind set to do whatever God would have you to do. And right now, He says, sharpen your tools. Sharpen your tools. Because when you get out there in the woods, there may not be any time to stop and sharpen it. Get as sharp as you can right now. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for these young people. Thank you, so, Father, for each one. And this, their hearts are, they want to please you, Lord. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would just show them, Lord, to just humble themselves, dear Father, so that they can be sharpened and ready to go when you show them the direction that you have for them. Lord, I pray that you would bless them. Bless this invitation for that one that may not be saved, has some real doubts about their salvation. They'll never find your will, Lord, for their life until they make sure they're on the team. Please bless them. Please bless an invitation, we pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother Mitchell, as you come.
And at your seats, as the instruments play, the Lord's laid something on your heart. You come and do business.